I'd like you to turn with me now to the passage that we read together, Philippians chapter 3. Now, as I was thinking of a suitable passage for the turning of the year, then I turned to this passage, and I would like us to consider together verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, these verses, they need to be understood in their context. And I want to do that first of all, briefly. And Paul is here drawing his letter to a conclusion, and he exhorts the Christians at Philippi, and he exhorts them to rejoice in the Lord. And then he says, "For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe." He writes to the Christians, and as he exhorts them to be faithful and rejoicing to the Lord, the first thing he does is to bring to mind those who would harm them. And he warns his readers. And it would seem here that he has done so many times, because he says it's not tedious for him to do it, but it is safe for them. And he is so concerned about their safety, their spiritual safety. Now, who does he want them to be safe from? Well, from that scourge of the early church, the Judaizers, those who professed to be Christians but went around following the apostles, infiltrating the churches with their message that to be a proper Christian, to be the real McCoy, it wasn't enough to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to have been baptized and added to the Lord's people. They needed to be circumcised as well, and to keep the law of Moses. And that this was their primary concern, to make the Gentiles into proper Christians. Now, the Apostle Paul, in verse 3, he says, "For we are the circumcision." These people who go around wanting this external act of circumcision to be formed upon the Christians, they'd completely missed the point. They'd lost their way, because they had forgotten, if they ever knew, that the circumcision of the Old Testament was a pointer to a true circumcision of the heart, which was to be characteristic of the gospel age. And it wasn't the Jews that were the people of God, it was the Christians. And the spiritual people of God were those who had been spiritually circumcised, and they served the Lord from the heart. So that's why he says, we are the circumcision. And that's what we are this evening. We are the people of God. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if the Holy Spirit has given us new hearts, circumcised our hearts, made them sensitive to the Lord and to his word. And and the Apostle Paul spends a good part of this chapter showing how futile these troublers of the church were. Because he said, look at me. If anyone can boast about being faithful to the law, if anyone can boast about being circumcised, If anyone can boast about the righteousness of the law, I can. And then he goes through his pedigree. As far as Jewishness was concerned, he was out of the top drawer. He was really the thing. And he was so zealous for the law that he persecuted the Lord's people. There's a bit of self-mockery, I think, there. In my zeal, I persecuted the Lord's people. He says, what was it all? Well, it was seeking to establish his own righteousness. And what we need to be beware of is not the literally these circumcisers, these Judaizers, but what we need to beware of is that self same thing, that is seeking to establish our own righteousness rather than receive that righteousness which is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, being found in him. And that is to be safe. That is safe, to follow and rejoice in the salvation which Christ gives. And the Apostle Paul outlines the worthlessness of all that he had done. And he gave it all up. He saw it all for what it was. The attempt to prove his own righteousness, the attempt to please God by what he did, by his own works. And he said, his own righteousness. But his own righteousness was nothing more than unrighteousness. It was nothing more than pride and human effort. And the Lord dealt with him on the road to Damascus. And the Lord gave him a new heart. He showed him. And he said, you are a special, you are specially mine. And I'm going to show you how much you must suffer for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul did suffer throughout his life as a Christian. And as you read his letters, he saw that as a charge from Christ, as a great privilege. But he followed the Lord Jesus Christ in great measure. And we know we are here largely because of his ministry. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. His letters were written to Gentiles. How we might grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are here today because of what the Lord did through the Apostle Paul. But the Apostle Paul attached no importance to any of it. For him, there were only three things that were important, only three things that mattered. To gain Christ, the first thing, to be found in him, having his righteousness and not his own righteousness, and to attain to the resurrection of the dead. The Apostle Paul had his eye on the goal being to be with his Lord forever and ever at the resurrection. And these are the important things. Everything else for Paul and everything else for us should pale into insignificance, less than that, because these are the things which are really necessary. But the Apostle Paul hadn't reached the goal. He has now. But he hadn't then reached the goal, and neither have we. And what do we do? Well, we must press on. And I just want us briefly to look at how we may do so at a time like today, at the turn of the year. A time when we look back over the year that's gone and a time when we look forward to the year ahead, wondering what will happen. That's quite artificial, of course, because one can do that every week, look back at the week that's passed and the week that'll be ahead. You can do that every day, look back on the day that has just passed. And the usual, if you like me, the usual response is, well, I've made a bit of a mess of that yet again. But there is always tomorrow. Now, what do we do? How do we apply these things at this turn of the year? Well, the first thing I want us to consider is looking back. The Apostle Paul says, I forget those things which are behind. The forgetting of the things which are behind. Now, as we look back, there are some things which must be forgotten. Now, this forgetting the Apostle Paul speaks of here, it's not forgetting in the sense that we are human and things escape from our memory. The Apostle Paul means repudiating, deliberately turning our backs upon them. And there are some things which must be repudiated, which must be forgotten. And the first of these is our sins before conversion. We must forget about them. We must not dwell upon them in case we are tempted to practice them still. We must remember that the sins before we were converted are under the blood. God has put them out of his memory, and so should we. Not in the sense of ceasing to be ashamed of them. We should be ashamed of what we've done, but there is a way of remembering them which dishonors the Lord. And the evil one is very, very adept at bringing to our memory things which we have done before, and saying to us, now that is particularly bad. And that is impossible to be forgiven. Now, that is a lie. And if we are the Lord's, if we have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, all our sins are under the blood. They have been washed away. We have been washed clean. And we have been given a righteousness which is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing that we are not to look back on and that we are not to remember is our former way of life. The Lord has forgiven it, and we must repudiate it. I've heard some Christians telling tales about what they were like before they were saved. And there's been almost an element of bravado there. And if there are two of them together, they try to outdo one another in the awful things that they have done. You know, the time past of our lives was enough for that. And we are not to think about the things that the Gentiles do in their wickedness. And we are certainly not to dwell upon those sins which cost the Lord his life to forgive. We are not to look back upon them. But then there are other sins which the evil one particularly troubles us over. And these are sins that we have committed since we have been converted. And so we look back and we think of the things that we have done, what fools we have been. I can think of many things, and I wouldn't tell you of them because I feel so embarrassed and so ashamed. But I wouldn't talk about them But I'll tell you who will and who can remember what we've done, and that is the evil one. And he can bring things to mind which you have done while you were a Christian. So the accusation is, you've been a Christian all these years, but you did that while you took the name of the Lord Jesus Christ upon yourself. And you did that. You thought these thoughts about someone. You've even maligned someone. You did all these things, and you profess to be a Christian. Well, all our sins are forgiven. And we must, of course, repudiate these things. If we have done them, then we must repudiate them. But they are under the blood, just as much as the sins that we committed before we became the Lord's. Whatever Satan will tell you otherwise, they are forgiven. And it is our pride is such that we always want to find reasons for why we did what we did. Mitigating circumstances and so on. Let's just admit it, that we are sinners and we do those things and we need to be forgiven. And remember what the Saviour said to Peter, when Peter objected to the Lord washing his feet, and he said, you are all clean, and you only need to have your feet washed. And the Saviour was saying there that you are clean before me, you are mine, but you need to have your sins forgiven from day to day. So in looking back, we need to repudiate what we've done. We need to forget them, accept that Christ has forgiven us them. God has forgiven us because we are his children. And just as children in a family don't cease to be children, however naughty they might be, we are in that position. We are children of the heavenly King, and our sins are all forgiven. But Paul doesn't just talk about his sins. He says in verse 8, "But indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." That it's not just his self-righteous acts. He repudiates everything. And he looks back on various things, and he says all things are to be counted as loss. Now, what does he mean here? Well, I would say that even the blessings of the past year must be forgotten if we're tempted to derive comfort from them in the wrong sort of way. If we look back on our service of the past year and we think of what we have attempted to do for the Lord, and if we are tempted to derive comfort from what we have done, and the Lord will be pleased with us because of this, that, or the other, then that must be repudiated. Because the very best that we do for the Lord is poor at its best. And even when we have experienced the blessing of the Lord, if we have known his answers to our prayers, we must obviously thank him for them. We can look back on many things with remembrance and thankfulness. But if we are tempted to view our Christian devotion, our Christian lives, in a way which will make us become self-righteous and think the Lord must love us because of all that we do for him, we must repudiate it It's all loss as far as pleasing God in a works righteousness sort of way. We please God because it pleases him to love us. And when he sees our feeble attempts to serve him, he loves us for it. But they don't make him any more disposed to be our father than he ever was. So there are our sins before conversion, there are our sins since we have been converted, and there are those blessings which we are tempted to make into acts of self-righteousness. We must put them behind us, forget them all, and we must instead, secondly, look ahead. We must not look back. We must reject the things that are past, and we must go and we must look ahead, because we have much to repent of, and we must do so, and we must put these things behind us. As I've just said, we have much to be thankful for, but even that must be put behind us, because you see, when God did bless us, he blessed us and helped us for then. But those blessings are not going to help us for tomorrow. Those were for then, for that particular day, for that particular occasion. God has blessed us. He's fulfilled our needs. But what about what is to come? The way in which God fulfilled our need yesterday or last week, that was for then. But we have needs and problems and challenges that come up, and we must look to the Lord for his blessings and his answers to prayers for now. Last year's blessings were for last year. What we need is God's answers to our prayers for now. You see, we can, as I said, we can reflect upon what is past, we can reminisce with gratitude, but there is a future resurrection to come. And that's what the Apostle Paul says. We can't rest here. We mustn't count ourselves of having reached the mark, attained, apprehended, got hold of what we've been called for. That is to come. And it must be pressed forward, worked towards. And that's what is before us. There is a life to live, and there is a resurrection to await. And the Apostle Paul says that is what we should be working for. We should press on towards the goal. And our goal is the prize of being called heavenward. It's rather a strange phrase. I think it's the translation that's probably strange in verse 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I think the Apostle Paul here is referring to our effectual call when we were called by grace. And it is a call heavenwards. It is a call to live for Christ and to live for our journey towards heaven. And that journey towards heaven will result in a prize, and the prize will be eternal life. And so the Apostle Paul here is saying that there's just two things. There is the possession of Christ, being in Christ, to gain Christ. And we have him, but we must continue to follow him and to cling closely to him. And there is a prize yet to be gained, which is the prize of eternal life, the resurrection from the dead, being with the Lord forever and forever in glory. So, what about what's past? Well, it's past. We can't bring it back. What about what's to come? We don't know. But we do know that those who belong to Christ are in Christ, and they are following Christ, and we are partakers of his life. And held before us is the crown of glory. And it's there. It's real for every one of us. And we don't know when we will receive that crown. But the Apostle Paul says that he presses towards the goal. And that's what's before us for the year ahead. And that's why I said that my text for a new year is artificial. Because it's there all the time. It's not. It's for tomorrow. It's for the rest of today that we are so failing. We are so liable to miss the mark. But whatever mistakes we make, whatever sins we commit, we will always be imperfect. But we are washed in the blood of Christ. We are in Christ in order to follow him and to press on towards that upward prize, that upward call, which is eternal life. And we cannot say that we've attained to it until we get it. And we don't know when we'll get it until we pass from this life, or when Christ comes again to receive us at the end of the world. But let's look ahead. Let's follow Christ. And all the things that bother us, all the things that we work for, they are necessary for this life, but they are nothing, nothing at all compared with being in Christ and following him, earnestly desiring that eternal life, that resurrection from the dead, which is for every one of the Lord's people. And if you're not in Christ, then you can well look back on your sins, because your sins are unforgiven and they still hang over you. And you need to look to Christ and to be in Christ and to ask for his forgiveness. But for the Lord's people, the sins are forgiven. Our sins are under the blood. And the Lord deals with us as wayward children, leading us on to that goal for every one of his people, which is the resurrection from the dead. Let us be in true earnest in following our Saviour in the days and weeks and months which lie ahead. May God enable us to do so. Amen.